You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network. That's how we do it. You know what we is. So, welcome on a Monday. Broadcasting from Quantico, Virginia. The still kind of basking in the afterglow of the marathon. Hung out there all day. And Waited, and I'll tell you about it here in a few minutes, but what a cool event for a lot of reasons. And so congratulations to everybody involved in it. from Rick, who runs Marine Corps Marathon organization all year round, to all the support people that plug into it, the commander, Marine Corps base in Quantico, and all the Marines who work it, and then also in partnership with law enforcement people, EMS people. It's no small effort, and but what a cool day, and it was even for me, it was even cooler. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. So still broadcasting from Quantico, Virginia, the crossroads of the Marine Corps, or the off-ramp of the Marine Corps, depending on where you're at in your career. And so weather looks decent outside in the upper 40s today. It was a beautiful day for the marathon yesterday. Actually, it rained all day on Saturday, wet and cold, and then on Sunday just like magic, just like they ordered it, right? Clouds were there, temperatures in the upper 50s when they started, low 60s when they finished. And then after everybody finished, the sun came out. So, yeah. So marathoning, not really conducive to sunshine, unless the temperature's pretty cold. So the weather back here, not bad. And let's see, later today, travel to the West Coast and be home late tonight. So looking forward to going home. But awesome here with my oldest son, Johnny Boy, and his wife, Susie, and my grandson, Finn. So going to watch. I'd never seen, I guess it's Tim Burton that produced it, but I don't know. My grandson calls it Scary, Scary Christmas, or a very I guess the actual title is Very Scary Christmas. So I actually was amused by it. I'm not really sure why, but so I think at some point I'll watch a little bit of that with Finn. We have to finish watching that, and it's those are the things that grandfathers do. So I'm fired up about that. And then, but today a little bit different. I want you to hear a couple of interviews that I did on Saturday. So you're going to hear those. One is with a Gold Star mom, Lisa Anderson. Her son Nick was killed in Iraq in 2004. Nick, a Lance Corporal, and killed by an IED. And actually, that's not true. That's not how he was killed. He was killed when a vehicle forced him off the road. Lisa finished yesterday in 5 hours and 20 minutes. She sent me a picture. Ran with a friend of mine named Scott Cuomo, Lieutenant Colonel type. Scott's a smart guy. He was a group chief at the Infantry Officer Course, which is where I met him after I came back from Afghanistan in 2011. And so you'll hear from her. And then I met a guy who's no longer on active duty. I say former Marine, and people correct me. I only say that because I understand the swinging door, the tribal swinging door, right? It doesn't work like that, all right? So when I say former, I mean no longer on active duty. His name's J.W. Cortez, with an S at the end. So he was at the Runners Expo, which happened on Friday and Saturday at the Gaylord Resort. And if you've never been to the Gaylord Resort in the DC area, it is as you go over the 495 and you go over, as you get on the 495 and you head across the Potomac River, kind of head towards Baltimore or BWI or Landover, something on the Maryland side. Off to the right, as you go across the river, you'll see this big complex. And the Gaylord Resort is there. It's beautiful. It's huge, man. It is gigantic. But it sits right on the river, and a beautiful view. And so they do their Runners Expo, and that's where runners go to check in on Friday and Saturday. And then once you check in, vendors are there and they give you all kinds of free stuff. So runners load up on whatever the things that runners load up on. And then the venue transfers late Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, to the vicinity of, the Marine Corps War Memorial, which is, our Iwo Jima flag raising statue. Up in Roslyn, above, kind of right on the border of Roslyn and Arlington. And so then the whole venue transfers up there. So, while we were at the Gaylord, Semper Fi Fund has a booth there. And everybody knows that I'm a huge fan of that organization. I remember when it was born and just the incredible work that they did at the time and they continue to do. So I had a guy who works for Semper Fi Fund. His name is Brian McPherson. So Brian says, hey, you want to interview J.W. Cortez? I said, well, who is he? He said, I'll send you his stuff. So he sends me his stuff. Enlisted Marine, a comm guy, then goes to embassy duty. And you'll hear his story. Gets out, becomes a cop in a transit authority cop, I think he said. And then he becomes, involved in acting. He's now, for the last 5 years, been on the TV show Gotham, which airs on the Fox Network. He's one of the few characters that has stayed throughout. And so so you're going to hear his story. And so he's involved with the Semper Fi Fund. He helps them raise money. And just an interesting story about him. His life as a Marine, and then he gets out, and then he goes back in and deploys to Iraq and Afghanistan. And why he stays involved with the Semper Fi Fund and get his thoughts on post-combat related mental health. So another cool interview. So we'll postpone the Gunners our Boston Red Sox celebration till tomorrow, and then we'll have Mike come on. So that's what we're doing today. I'll get to the marathon, which and the stories that my day was absolutely awesome. You know, I don't know how other to describe it as that. First of all, the event in and of itself is amazing. Okay, what you see there, the way the Marine Corps does it, but there's this very cool. There's a lot of very cool things you see there. In fact, it's like cool all over the place. So I'll talk about that. Then on top of that, I see a bunch of my friends. I start out the morning and I'm looking for the Commandant, General Neller, my former battalion commander and I'm his favorite company commander, right? So I track him down. So he drags me around with him most of the morning. So then we're up by the finish line and standing, all of a sudden walking in is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, another friend of mine. Right. And so I'll tell you about talking to him. And then as I'm talking to, I think the Commandant's wife and I were standing there talking and General Kelly walks up, right? Chief of Staff of the White House, you know, and these are all great friends of mine. And they have been that way for a long time. And just, I mean, talk about a fun afternoon. And then I'll tell you about that. And then how the afternoon ended, which was hanging out at the finish line, and what I saw there. So it was just an awesome, awesome day, and spawned by the largest cultural event the Marine Corps does, where we roll out our culture, and other people take a look at it. It's very, very cool. Very, very cool. So we'll talk about all that. So good morning to you. Hope you had a good weekend. The nation mourns again. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. And I have some thoughts about this. About what happened in Pittsburgh. And I don't, you know, I think we've all read pieces of who was killed in a place of worship. But again, the first thing I'll say about it is last week we the nation watched as law enforcement authorities dealt with pipe bombs. And one of the best thing that I heard said, and I can't remember who I heard say it, but you know, when the first thing you do is blame somebody else, then that's not the way it should be. That's not the way leaders, responsible leaders act. I don't care if there's an election or what. It's just, to me, unfathomable, you know, what comes out of our elected leaders. It's pretty disgusting, if you want me to be blunt about it. So I don't know. I mean, what motivates somebody like this? Is it simply, you know, a deranged person? I guess we'll find out in the days to come. You know, you see different things that have been published. And it's just sickening. sickening, sickening, sickening that people lose their life in a place of worship to some sick guy who decides that this is how he wants to go out. And it's just, and I think as a nation, I mean, how do you not look internally and say, what are we doing wrong? How are we missing? You know, so anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit too. So the United States Marine Corps band makes it official. They were out. That's right. They were over in Roslyn, I heard. So anyway, good Monday morning to you. And to Montana man and the gunner, congratulations on the Boston Red Sox 2018 World Championship win. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And the reason, you know, and I didn't see much of it because I was busy over the weekend. And the games, you know, let me tell you, sports watching on the East Coast sucks, man. West Coast so much better for sports. For instance, you can, a 1 o'clock game, if you're going to watch, say, like, watch a college football game, a 1 o'clock game starts at 10 in the morning on the West Coast. You can get up, you can do some stuff, you watch the game, 1 o'clock, boom, you roll outside, you got the rest of the day. Here, not that way. A baseball game starts at 8, and if it runs late, you're talking about 1 o'clock in the morning. If it goes 18 innings, that's an all-night event. So anyway, but to me the most amazing things, and I the rental car I have gets Major League Baseball Network on it. So I listen to it on when I'm driving back and forth because they run their programming on a loop, right? So, and then when you get stuck in D.C. traffic, because it's there. So got to listen to the criticisms of both managers. But to me, the most amazing thing about the Red Sox win is the guys who propelled them to the win were not the guys who propelled them to 108 wins during the regular season. The guys who pulled the lion's share of the weight in the regular season were Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, and the shortstop, I think his first name is Xander Bogaerts. The guys who got him through the playoffs in the World Series were a guy named Rafael Devers, the third baseman, their center fielder who can't hit water if he fell out of a boat by the name of Jackie Bradley Jr., and a guy they picked up in the middle of the season, I think his first name is Steve, his last name is Pence. He was a World Series MVP. Hitting home runs like he's Babe Ruth. And then a guy who had not won a game. He was 0-10 in the playoffs. Wins twice for the Red Sox in the World Series. So not sure that he should have been the MVP. But David Price. You know what? Congratulations to him. It's really hard when you see athletes that are great that have so much misfortune in the playoffs. And Clayton Kershaw is that way for the Dodgers. And David Price has been that way. But he stuck with it. Incredible lesson in perseverance. Incredible lesson in perseverance. So congratulations to Montana man and the gunner. Gunner was talking about wearing his onesie late last week, so I'm not sure if he did that. But I know that it was happy in Granbury. So congratulations to them. All right, United States Marine Corps band makes it official this morning. Good morning to you. this is dedicated to the post. Well, it's dedicated to the runners and all the people that that show up and support the Marine Corps Marathon. If you've never been, you should go just to check it out. It is cool on top of cool on top of cool on top of cool. There's so many incredible stories, people running for different people. There's no prize money. All the different great organizations that support veterans and healing and are all there. And it's just such a cool thing. So this is dedicated to them on this Monday as we're all experiencing post-Marine Corps Marathon euphoria. Maybe the people that worked or experienced the relief. But this is dedicated to them and the wonderful job that they did putting on the event and the runners, which are absolutely incredible. So here's to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll tell you about my day. It was awesome, I swear to God. 50 degrees and sunny in Quantico, Virginia right now. It is 58 degrees and mostly sunny in Granbury, Texas. It is partly cloudy and 61 in 29 Palms, California. It is cloudy and 47 at Camp Pendleton. Yikes. Dark, cloudy and 72 in Okinawa, Japan. It is sunny and 74 in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq. It is cloudy evening at 75 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of beautiful Southern California, it is foggy, dense fog and 60. Looking for high of 72 today, 73 tomorrow, and 82 on Wednesday. That is a look at your weather here on a Monday morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue with post-marathon euphoria here on your home, your only home for post-marathon euphoria. All Marine Radio, courtesy of the All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this great program coming up next. And again, you're going to hear from two people that one that ran, the other one that has run and supports all the causes that are involved in the Marine Corps Marathon. So you're going to hear from Lisa Anderson, and you're going to hear from J.W. Cortez of Gotham today. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, right over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave.
I know, I haven't changed them up, sorry about that.
And I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess, got so aggressive.
If you only knew what goes into putting this show on, you'd be more sympathetic.
Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
On the way out, on the way out of the marathon yesterday, I was walking to where I had parked my car, had to walk back past the memorial, and people all over the place, a lot of lieutenants up there, cheap labor picking things up from the basic school, loading all the different things that they use. But anyway, so when I got near the monument, I thought, you know, I need to go see if they've put Iraq and Afghanistan on the monument. My wars on the monument. On the memorial. Because if you look at the memorial, on the crest of the plates that adorn the side of the base are all the actions that Marines have fought in. And it was there. Iraq and Afghanistan, both there. Boom! But the funny part is, later on, the woman you're going to hear in about 30 minutes, Lisa Anderson, I texted her later last night and I said, hey, how'd you do? So she sends me a picture of her finish time. And, she says, and then she had a picture taken with Lieutenant Colonel Cuomo. Lieutenant Colonel Cuomo was her son's platoon commander in 1st Battalion, 4th Marines when her son was killed. And they run it. They run the marathon. Whenever he's in country, they run it together. So he's a good dude. Smart guy, too. So anyway, she sends me a picture, and she says, look, Iraq and Afghanistan or on the, she said, we went to see if Iraq and Afghanistan were on the memorial. I was like, not that as a group that we're possessive or anything like that, but we might be. So, no, nonetheless, pretty funny. So, let me tell you about cruising through the memorial. I get there and it's dark, like 6:30 in the morning. The ceremony started like 7:25 and then the official start is at 7:55. And there's 30,000 runners. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, 30,000 runners. I mean, they're everywhere. And so you're walking and you start up in Roslyn, for those of you who have been to the monument. And then you walk past the monument, you walk down the hill. Okay, then you walk all the way across to the street, the 14th Street Bridge? Whatever bridge comes on the backside of the Lincoln Memorial and goes into Arlington. You walk across that and, you hang a left and then you hang a right and then you're in the road that runs outside of Arlington, between Arlington and the river. And there's where they start the race. So there's thousands of people there. And there's all kinds. There's the hand crank guys who, for mobility issues, whether they're amputees or otherwise disabled, they do hand cranks. And they're lined up and ready to go. And then you have all the runners behind them. You have them on both sides of the road. You have 14,000 on one side. You have 8,000 on the other side. Because on one side, as soon as the marathon runners get out of the way, the 10K runners finish. They come blowing up the finish. So anyway, I get there and I'm just checking this stuff out. And, you know, you just stand there, you say hi to somebody, they're Marine or whatever, you find out where they were, if you were there at the same time. And but I'm looking for Neller. I'm looking for the commandant. So I see him. So across the street, I've got my media credentials so I can go anywhere, right? I got my Visa card. So or my MasterCard, whatever you prefer. So I head in his direction. His wife sees me first and she goes back. And so walk up and we're talking to them. So he and I are talking and then we start talking about post-traumatic winning. And then in the middle of that, you know, we're having this conversation. Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Green standing there. We're talking and he says, come on, we got to start the race. I said, what? He goes, come on, you can help. I'm like, what do you mean? So anyway, I'm like, all right, I'm in. So we go up there, we get to this scaffolding, right, that's all dolled up, and here's Woody Williams in there. He goes, Woody, you know Mike McNamara? And he said, this is Mike McNamara. And Woody says, I know Mike. And Neller looks at me. I said, we spent an hour together yesterday. So we're standing there talking to Woody Williams, right, 95 years old. And so I said, hey, let me ask you this question, Woody. And I said, everybody got a secret. What's your secret? He goes, well, I'll tell you. And with that, the commandant and I both kind of lean in, like, what is it? He said, a jigger of vinegar that has a couple of tablespoons of salt, of honey in it. He said, been doing it for years. My whole family does it. It'll keep you healthy. And the commandant and I both say the same thing at the same time, starting it tomorrow. So anyway, standing there, and then they fire some kind of simulated artillery round when the starter pistol starts, and then boom, and then you stand there, and I don't know for how long, a half hour, people run by as the 30,000 people get underway. So we're kind of done there, but you know, we're standing there talking, and then I don't know after how long we leave. And the commandant's like, come on, come with me. He says, I got to do stuff at the finish line. So we're walking and we're talking. And he's asking me if I travel and do what I do. And I said, yeah, of course. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to have work for you. So then, which made me happy, right? Because he gets it. Sergeant Major Marine Corps gets it too. So I'll tell you about that in a second. So a funny story. So we're walking from where the race starts up to the kind of the finish line. There's the media tent. There's a whole bunch of partner tents, Semper Fi Fund, Travis Manion Foundation, blah, 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 blah. So so they're all there. And then there's a VIP tent. So Nelly says, come on, you're coming in here with me. He said, we need to finish this conversation. So we go walking in. Now, he immediately gets hijacked. Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps grabs me. And so he and I talk for close to an hour. And Sergeant Major gets it. Sergeant Major gets it. And he said, sir, I heard what you were talking about. You are spot on. And he said, we need to do business. And, he said, you know, a lot of things we're doing aren't hitting the right notes. And what you're talking about is hitting Marine notes. I said, it's Marine stuff. I said, and I don't say this to embarrass, the officer side of the Marine Corps house, but this stuff mostly has come out of the enlisted side. It's the way they took care of each other. And he looked at me and smiled. He said, flat black, sir, flat black. And so, Sergeant Major Green, just awesome. So we had a great conversation and, you know, he told me some things that he's working on. And really interesting stuff. And these guys, and the other thing is they both know the gunner. So I brought up Mike's name, and they laughed, and they said, how is he? And I said, he's doing all right, living in Texas. So so had a great conversation with Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Here's a funny story about walking to the VIP area with Commandant. So the basic schools is a place where we educate second lieutenants for about 6 months. After they get out of officer candidate school, the Marine Corps is the only service that has such a school. For 6 months, we send them to a finishing course where they learn leadership, they learn tactics, they learn communication, they learn all kinds of stuff. They learn how to be an officer. We don't think OCS can do it. Obviously, doesn't do that. And we don't think their MOS school, where they learn their job, is the place to teach all that other stuff. So the Marine Corps takes 6 months out of their contract, and we send them to finishing school. So anyway, there's a ton of lieutenants down there. So they all come up, and they work at the marathon. So the commandant of the Marine Corps is walking, and this lieutenant's kind of standing at this gate. And the commandant, you know, the gate has to, it's a bike rack thing. So he's got to pick up the end and move it. So the commandant walks up, he looks at him, and the lieutenant's moving the gate, or he's standing there, and the lieutenant looks at him, and the commandant says to him, "We're not saluting today." I was like, "Oh no!" And all of a sudden, you know, he pops up to salute, and then the commandant says, "Have a good day, Lieutenant McNamara," or whatever his name was. And I just thought, you know what? This poor kid, right? Second lieutenant, he's standing there. What are the odds that he's going to see the commandant that day? Not good. What are the odds that he's going to, like, not salute and then get told by the commandant, "Are we saluting today?" I thought, that poor kid. But it was funny. So we get to the tent, and I talk to the sergeant major. I walk out, and I find the commandant's wife standing there, and so she and I are talking. Again, we've been friends since the 90s, early 90s, and, you know, just about family and stuff. And then I saw General Kelly's wife, all right, Chief of Staff of the White House, and she and I are standing there talking. And then I see the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford. He sees me, and he starts laughing. I said, "We're not going to talk about it, okay? I haven't watched it. Because I've been busy." And he says, "Out of respect, Mac, we won't talk about the Red Sox." And you know, he's a great guy. His wife ran the 10K, daughter there. He's just a great family. You know what I mean? And it's just, but just fun because, you know, we worked together elbow to elbow during some pretty crazy events in the Al Anbar province. And so just to be able to stand around and talk about family and other, you know, just life. And then he was very curious about All Marine Radio, and so I had a chance to talk to him about post-traumatic winning. So he and I stand there talking, and I can't remember, somebody came up, and, you know, you can imagine being there with him. So we're talking, and so I kind of backed out of that conversation because he was engaged, and then walking by is the Chief of Staff of the White House. And he doesn't see me, so he doesn't acknowledge me. So, of course, what do? Because I'm a mature man. I shove him. And he turns and looks, and he says, "What are you doing in here? You don't belong in here. You're not a VIP." And I said, "What are you talking about? Of course I'm a VIP." And so we shake hands, and bro hug it out. And John Kelly's a funny guy. And so it's very interesting talking to him about life, you know, and at the White House, about how do you deal with a media where the truth isn't important. And very interesting conversation with him about that and what changes it. And so I said to him the same things that I say here on the show. I said, "Hey, sir, but for that dumbass guy who went to the baseball practice, there's 20 congressmen dead." And he looked at me and said, "Mac, I don't know what's going to change it, because when you deal with them all the time, they are only bent on one thing, and that is to getting in power. All of the things are subordinate to them. And he said, I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't. That and a media that doesn't concern itself with the truth. And, you know, and he told me stories about, you know, meeting with reporters or groups of reporters, and he stopped doing it. Because that which you say on background, which is a tradition in Washington, D.C., you meet with reporters, it's all off the record, it's all on background so they can understand what's going on. He said it all winds up in the paper. He said, so I don't do it anymore. And I've had a whole bunch of them ask me, why don't you do that anymore? Because you people aren't honorable anymore as a group. Now, individually you might be, but as a group, I can't bring you in here and trust you not to print the things that you say you won't print if we do that. And then he said, so I don't know. He said, I don't know what changes it. I don't know what changes it. So then he wanted to talk about the Red Sox. So, so he's killing me with the Red Sox. And, but it was just, as you can tell, I'm still excited about it. But no, it's just, they're great friends, of mine who, you know, I served with in a number of different places. The Commandant and I were talking about, we had a kid walk off a firm base one night. He was acting weird. His squad leader took his rifle, which pissed him off. So he said, fuck it, I'm out of here. So, Brigadier General Neller was a deputy MEF-CG for Al Anbar. And I was with RCT-5. I was running their combat operations center. And so he comes down to the COC in person along with MEF Sergeant Major. And so they're watching the TV and they're saying, hey, tell him this. Tell him this, do this. Look, tell him to go left. And I finally turned around and looked at him. And I said, this can't continue. Just so you know, I'm not telling them anything you're telling me. They're watching the same feed. He said, but you dialed the phone and you talked to somebody. I said, I dialed my own number and talked to a busy signal so you would leave me alone. And he looked at me. He said, are you shitting me? And I said, no, they're watching the same feed. They got it. He goes, oh, so are you telling me to shut up? I said, no, you're a general officer. I'd never tell you to shut up. He said, all right. Do you want us to leave? I said, no, you can stay. Okay? But they got it. He goes, all right. I said, could you tell the sergeant major to stop yelling too? He said, all right. And so he yells across the room, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major turns and looks. They got it. Sergeant Major looks like, what? They got it, all right? They got it. So it's funny. So again, just a fun day of seeing friends and there. And then the director of the race, Rick Nellis, he comes up to me and says, hey, Mac. Actually, I was eating lunch. I grabbed some of the VIP food. And yeah, while I was getting it, they just threw some more hot grilled chicken on. I was like, yes. So anyway, I'm sitting there eating by myself. And it was kind of later in the day. And all my friends had left. And he walks up to me and goes, hey, if I would have known that you were that well connected, I'd have been way nicer to you. I said, yeah, don't think I didn't tell him what an asshole you are either. He said, I hope you were nice. I said, no, I wasn't. I'm not like that. I'm like a Lance Corporal, okay? I get even. And he said, how do you know all those guys? I said, I just served with them. I just served with them and we're friends. He said, well, hey, look, Mac, anything you need, you let me know. I said, I don't need anything from you from now on. Anyway, talk about a busy guy. So anyway, then I went out and I watched the race. I watched the finish. I stand at the finish line. There was three marriage proposals at the finish line. Hilarious. But what you see at the finish line, and if you go to the All Marine Radio Twitter feed, you'll see it. But what you see is the bike stands on either side of a walkway, of a street, right? And it's the street that runs towards the monument from below. So it's that street. There's bike stands on either side so people can't get near it. And you have lieutenants on the insides of the bikes, on the bike racks, lining the street. And when you come across the finish line, you go through this gauntlet of Marines that are high-fiving you and saying congratulations. And you should see the runners. It was cool. It was cool as cool could be. And this is the first kind of thing these lieutenants have done, like, as like an official duty. I'm not talking about putting your uniform on and going out to eat or going to the Marine Corps ball. I'm talking about you're representing the Marine Corps at a function in public. And at first you could see they were shy. And then they got into it and they started, you know, hooting and hollering and high-fiving and whatnot. It was cool. It was cool, cool, cool. So the first runners that come through, I mean, they're runners, okay? So the guy who wins it runs it in 2:20-something, okay? The last runners come in 7 hours after they started. And so you watch these, at the first part, it's runners crossing, right? And they look like runners. And then as you get slower, they don't look like runners anymore. Some of them look like people that just walked out of a liquor store and decided to run a marathon. And you're like, are you shitting me? But the interaction between the Marines and the public is priceless to watch. You have people that, when they cross the finish line, they're crying, right? And then you have these Marines are screaming and yelling, congratulations, awesome. And this gauntlet goes on for 50 yards. Something like that. And lined on both sides with Marines saying congratulations. And these people are high-fiving them, and some of the people are shaking every one of their hands saying, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your service. And then the other cool things you see are, you know, people that have run marathons for the first time. And they're so excited that they finished. And then you see this, you know, jubilation and this congratulations and how happy they are. You see people that are not from the United States that are running it, who are interacting with Marines for maybe the first time in their life. And their reaction to this enthusiasm and this, and their own joy about finishing. It's really, really cool. And I, when you see that, and you like look in the way somebody's dressed or whatever, like that guy's not from the United States, and you see the way they respond to this infectious enthusiasm, it was just the coolest of cool events. Watching that in between marriage proposals, like what, another one? Holy shit! And then at the end, you're looking at people that have walked the majority of the marathon once they got to a certain point. You got to get to a certain point so that you've got to run 14-minute miles for 10, 12 miles, something like that, to get to a certain bridge that they close at a certain time so they can open up traffic in D.C. because they can't have the stragglers holding up traffic for hours. So anyway, then once you get past that bridge, you can take your time. You have people. There was a woman, I want to say she was in her 80s. There's men clearly in their 80s. And you're watching it going, you got to be kidding me. 7 hours after they started, they finished. Absolutely amazing. And honestly, you're looking at body types like, how did that person do that? You're watching amputees. You'll hear from one of them, but you know, prosthetic leg on one side and most of his calf missing on the other side, carrying a flag. Now I don't know if you've ever walked a long ways, but when you walk, for instance, when we hike a long ways, you know, if your backpack is somehow out of balance and your body has to compensate for that over a long period of time, at some point you begin to feel it. Carrying just a flag, and you say, well, it wouldn't be that heavy, and yada yada, is a Herculean effort for 26 miles. Changing arms and the way it doesn't allow you just to have your normal movement of your arms on your body when you run. And you see all of this. You see people running in costumes. You see people running, pushing a wheelchair. Somebody disabled in a wheelchair that they run with. And it's just cool on top of cool. And I think there's an atmosphere that permeates a marathon because there is no prize money. It's called, because it's called the People's Marathon, that is just wonderful. So, if you can't tell, I had an awesome time. And I would tell you, if I want to go back and run, whether it's the marathon or the 10K, I'd like to run either one of them. I don't know that but watching it, it's like a piece of shit, right? You're seeing all these people do it, right? You're seeing men do it, and then you're like watching the women do it, and you're like, God, you mean tell me I can't do that? But I've hiked long distances. It's not easy on your body. So, I don't know. I might have to get my runner thing off for a while and see if my legs can do it. But no, I would tell you, put it on your bucket list, either to go be a part of or to go running. Cause it is cool. About 100,000 people, when you counted guests and family members and all that show up for it. So, quite the sight, quite the sight. And I just want to thank, Rick and Ashley Toplosky was the media event coordinator. She was awesome to All Marine Radio. They had never had anybody cover the event. I think I said on Friday and Saturday. So they didn't know like how it worked. And so, so they were at first a little like unsure of how we would fit in, but they were fantastic to us. So just a wonderful, wonderful weekend, to be a part of. And then on top of it, being able to see, great friends that I've had for a long time and friends that now do important things that be able to see them and say hi to them. And again, General Kelly is out there with his wife, Karen, their daughter Kate was there, their son-in-law Jake, who's a Marine veteran, a below the knee amputee, and see their family there. And Team Kelly runs in that event. So that's pretty cool. And the Dunfords run as part of Team Kelly. And so just a great kind of family event and, wonderful, wonderful to be a part of. And the Marine Corps Marathon, the post Marine Corps Marathon afterglow. All right, we're going to take a break, and then you're going to hear from Lisa Anderson. And then you're going to hear from J.W. Cortez. Let me introduce you to Lisa Anderson. Lisa Anderson, mom, and you're going to hear her story. She's a Gold Star mom now. She's run a ton of marathons. But she didn't start out that way. And she did it she ran the Marine Corps Marathon to honor her son's sacrifice. His name is Nick, and he was killed in Iraq in 2004. And Nick, part of 1st Battalion, 4th Marines. And Lisa runs the event, as I said earlier, with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Como. Scott was her son's platoon commander, and he was a lieutenant at the time. And so they stick together, and they run it together, and it's a really cool story. But her story is a really interesting story about the experience of becoming a Gold Star mother. And the experience with trauma and the experience with grief. And so I think you'll find the interview, like most of the people that come on All Marine Radio, fascinating, 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 fascinating. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.